why did the Ewok fall out of the tree? He died. Welcome to Geekly News Desk for the week of July 17th, 2016. I am Simon Atwell, and as always, I am joined by...
Andrew Dupe.
That joke amused me when I read it online, so I had to put it in.
Died.
You know, dead Ewoks, always funny. Right? Don't you agree?
I for sure agree. Yeah, we're coming up for little fur nuggets.
But it has, however, inspired. I've got a punchline for another joke that I'm working on in my head. I just got to make the setup work. So maybe next time we have Star Wars news, it'll be an original joke. Maybe. There's no problem. I mean, the last time I tried to do that, I forgot it, and it never happened. But that was a long time ago. Hey, guess what? Andrew, this is 3 weeks in a row.
It is. It's a new record.
It is. It is a new record. And we're still not doing it on Saturday fucking afternoon. But, you know, whatever. I probably would have been more tired, actually, then, because that was shitty for sleep.
Yeah, so it all works out.
Kind of. Until I have to go to work today and I'm dead tired. Anyway, let's just get right into the news. Talking about the movies first, which is all you, all the time.
Power Rangers had new posters.
Yep.
The usual close-up of the face. Here's each character.
Looks yeah. Cool. Except that they had Bryan Cranston's face as Bryan Cranston's face. Like, it was just a picture of his face. He didn't look any like he was in a tube or blue or anything.
Yeah.
It was weird. But yeah, everybody else, it was close-up face, like lightning bolt sort of... Not shadow, because everything else was in shadow except the lightning bolt, right? And then the name.
Yeah.
They're fine. They're fine posters.
There. They exist. It's exciting. Let's move on to Star Wars.
Yes, move on to Star Wars while I get something in the notes.
Did you see the Rogue One behind the scenes?
I think so. I think I watched it. I watched something that was released from there.
I don't remember what they called it exactly, but it was the same deal as that behind the scenes thing they showed for... That movie that came out last year.
That movie that came out.
What's that Star Wars movie?
The Force Awakens?
Yeah, that one.
Oh boy. Good job, Andrew. Yes, at Celebration they showed behind the scenes like three times.
Yeah.
I know people who watched the live stream and they saw it three times.
It was very good. There's not too much to like concretely say about it. They just showed
they had people talking about
stuff.
Star Wars, it's awesome. I love working on Star Wars. Star Wars, Star Wars, explosion, Star Wars, Star Wars, explosion.
Yeah.
It's pretty much how it went, at least what I saw.
One thing I did note that we didn't see before is Donnie Yen's character. He's blind, right?
Who?
And there was a couple scenes of him fighting, and he looks like he's fighting blind.
Oh, yes. That guy. Definitely blind.
He's I don't just know not who that like guy looking is. At where he's flailing his stick.
Yeah, I have no idea who that guy is.
Guy, the character's name?
Character-wise. Name or actor-wise.
Stupid name.
Well, yes, it's Star Wars. They all have stupid names.
Chirrut Imwe?
Chirrut Imwe?
Chirrut Imwe?
It's terrible. I'm going to try and Google that and see if you're pronouncing it terribly. But yeah, no, that his couple of fight scenes things looked awesome. Chirrut Imwe. Let's see what I get. Nope, definitely not Chirrut Imwe. It's definitely not who I wanted. anyway, yeah, no, his fight scenes look cool. I don't think, at least in what I saw, we saw any of Forrest Whitaker. Maybe a little bit of Forrest Whitaker, but not him doing anything.
Yeah, still.
Yeah, saw the droid standing there.
Yeah, we got a bigger shot of the droid. That was cool.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, it's just more of the stuff that we've seen before. It's just different. Oh, there's that one. One, like, rodent-looking guy laughing crazy in the gunship.
Oh, right, yeah. What the hell was that alien?
I don't know.
But yeah, the director is telling me, like, oh, director, I assume that was the director, telling him to laugh a certain way, and he's, ah! Yeah, that was pretty amusing. But I have no idea what that alien is.
No, me either.
Also
there's, like, quick flash of, like, different helmets and new aliens.
Yeah, that's true. That was around the time we saw a better shot of the droid. Also, I want to say we saw Warwick Davis, but I don't know who Warwick Davis is
playing. Yeah, we did. I don't know what he's playing either, but at this point he's just in all the movies.
He might be that alien, because that alien looked pretty short.
It's true. I'd like that.
That's kind of why I put two and two together there. That's why I brought him up. I'm also going to IMDb right now and see what IMDb has about Star Wars. Oops, that's not how you spell Rogue. I was about to spell Rouge.
Rouge.
As a person who plays WoW and used to main a rogue, I should know how to spell it, because I used to misspell it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Cast 35. Also, we didn't see the awesome-looking Imperial guy do anything but stand in a... It looked like a launch bay, basically.
Yeah.
He did nothing.
All we've seen of him is standing in various locations.
No, he walked through the mud in the one before.
He walked through the mud during his goddamn cape. Yeah.
And I watched that, I was like, man, that cape. That cape's gonna be dirty as shit now.
Yeah.
Warwick Davis Bistan. Apparently, Bistan, whoever the fuck that is.
Yeah,
that's Warwick Davis' character. Rumored.
I know more. I haven't
seen... He's definitely in the movie.
We haven't seen any of the panels yet.
No. I will not see them at all. Hmm?
There's a lot more information to be gleaned. No. I've only seen the Rebels panel.
Definitely not watch any of them, because realistically, I don't watch any panels ever. Like, if I'm there, like, at Fan Expo, I'll go to a couple of panels. But I'm not going to watch them online. It's just not going to happen.
There we
go. I'm sure I'll get all the information I need from somebody else writing it somewhere. Or somebody else talking about it on one of the myriad of podcasts that I listen to. And sometimes, occasionally, steal stories from.
Okay.
Humanoid individual, citizen soldier, I looked at Bistan on the Wikia. Light skinned humanoid covered in black hair. That thing looked pretty purple to me.
I don't know.
But he was humanoid, because that just means two arms, two legs.
Person shaped, yeah.
Anyway, Rogue One, guys, there's lots of stuff to watch.
And it's exciting. The Donnie Yen stuff has me so pumped.
Yeah, those fight scenes look boss. And this next thing, maybe it's a different person, but I thought this was already confirmed.
Now it's officially confirmed.
Yeah.
That Alden Ehrenreich? Ehrenreich?
Ehrenreich. Ehrenreich.
Alden Ehrenreich is going to be young Han Solo. And it looks like he was in Hail Caesar and Blue Jasmine.
Beautiful creature, Hail Caesar, Stoker, Blue Jasmine. Untitled Han Solo Star Wars anthology film. Running Wild. I heard about Running Wild. The Jasmine Teenage Mutant Ninja stuck up in his toys and things. Yeah, not a lot of stuff I've ever heard of. Which is fine. That's kind of what I usually I like people casting for unknowns as much as you can, as long as they're good actors. You don't, not every movie has to have, you know, all the big stars in it.
Oh, he was a character in season 1, episode 2 of Supernatural.
I might have seen that episode. He was also in a single episode of CSI, but that's not, you know, rare. Those two particular shows, especially, that have gone on for 10 years plus.
Yeah. Many years. I dropped off after season 1, so.
I never was a continuous watcher of either of them. It looks fine. And there's people obviously complaining, oh, it doesn't look anything like Harrison Ford. So what? Who cares?
This is fine. I'm not super excited about it.
But, I'll, yeah, you know, I mean, I haven't seen
the trailer. My head's going to explode.
I'll wait to see his acting before I judge. You know? Oh, Andrew, speaking of whatever you said about exploding, let's move on to TV. And if you notice, I moved, to keep it all in the Star Wars, I moved that thing up to the top.
Good.
Because
forgot
you're gonna, you, I'm sure your head wanted to explode.
Oh, man.
When you were watching the season 3 trailer.
The season 3 trailer for Rebels. Star Wars Celebration. It was like 3 minutes or something like that.
Something like that. Let me click this link. Let me click this link and find out. See what YouTube says. 3 minutes and 32 seconds.
Oh, and it was glorious.
It starts with a yell, honestly. It's quite loud if you're not prepared for it and listen to it on headphones.
So there's definitely a time skip since season 2. Everyone's older. Ezra is taller and got a haircut.
And does he have a different lightsaber?
Yeah.
Lightsaber
broke at the end of season 2.
See, I haven't watched any of season 2 yet. I'm going to run to it.
And Sabine, different haircut.
Different haircut, yep.
Haircut, I guess.
Yep.
And Kanan, beard.
Well, blind. He's still blind, yeah. Got a helmet. All the time.
And,
which is, it's funny, because that's really more of a Sith thing to do. Constantly wear a helmet. Even blind Jedi don't usually do that.
He can do what he wants.
I'm just saying. Traditionally, it has always been a Sith. Fashion? Question mark? Is that the right word?
Yeah.
The helmet's so always a Sith thing.
Speaking of a Sith thing, Ezra is making everyone comfortable with his connection to the Sith holocron.
Yeah.
You can only open a Sith holocron if you, you know, kind of understand the Sith. So he's probably going dark side.
He's an angry individual. But we also see him with a light side holocron late in the trailer.
We also see him chilling with Darth Maul.
Darth Maul, in that same scene, yeah.
Good times.
And somebody Except else who Darth tells Maul him... To be back. Somebody else who tells him he draws power from his anger. I couldn't tell who that was from the up shot above their heads. I didn't recognize the voice.
And Hondo is back.
Who?
Hondo.
Oh, yes. Hondo comes back, and the other guy, the other smuggler we saw in season 1.
Yeah, who is, like, mortal enemies with Hondo, but I guess they're working together right now.
Somehow they're working together in the Rebellion, yeah. We see Wedge.
Yeah, Wedge.
TIE Fighter is, 22 or something. Fighter. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can call me Wedge. Y-Wings.
Yeah, Y-Wings.
They're going to steal some Y-Wings. Some people have said that that one ship looks like the Outrider, and kind of does.
It is 100% YT-2400.
It might not be the Outrider.
Not the Outrider.
Ah,
maybe it becomes the Outrider. I don't know.
Yes, but we do see the same Corellian cruiser class.
T-2400. Tony said that it's not the Outrider.
What else do we see? Before we get to the big reveal, what else did we see? There's something else. I want to... Oh, yeah, the Bendu. The Bendu is interesting.
All right.
Because they took what were the Bendu monks in the old thing. There were Bendu monks that were sort of like Grey Jedi, but they weren't really Jedi, but they did... You know, they were balancing the Force thing.
Yeah. Force it.
And now it is a creature who is like, there's the light side, there's the dark side, and then there's me. I'm in the middle. He looks like a tree man, kind of. Yeah. And he talks to Kanan.
Good.
Oh, and the dark... Was that guy who was talking to Sabine, that's the guy from Clone Wars, right? The Mandalorian?
Not sure.
I look similar enough to that guy whose name I can't remember.
Mandalorian's working for the Empire.
Yeah, the one who says that.
Yeah.
And then later says, you remember our ways or something, and that... I don't remember.
I don't know. Like, they gives keep you my respect. Mandalorian characters in.
Well, then, but later we see her with the Darksaber. That, with the only person we saw with that previously was the dude from Clone Wars.
Yeah,
but and they're
it's
the same.
It's in her same house, so...
Yeah, and they're the same clan, yeah, so I'm thinking it's probably that dude. Just, what, 10 years later? Was this 10? No, this is like, what, 20 years later?
From Clone Wars?
It's a while.
It's a while, yeah. And there's, like, some green ghosty thing. And green
ghosty thing, yeah, that he's either taking over Kanan or attempting to, or they're trying to, it's a good thing and just looks evil, and I don't know. There's something going on.
And there's more Tarkin, and there's more...
More Tarkin and that governor.
Yeah.
And then that governor has to call in somebody who can... What was the line?
See the whole picture?
See the whole picture, or a bigger picture, one or the other.
Bigger picture, yeah. Something about a picture, which is the key word, because then, oh my god, it shows a guy standing in a room full of art. Oh my god, Admiral Thrawn. Not just Admiral Thrawn, Grand Admiral
Thrawn. Grand Admiral Thrawn, yep.
Finally in canon.
Which, I mean, if we all knew it was going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't expect it to happen eventually, you were fooling yourself, considering the amount of yelling that happened about him, specifically.
And if you don't know who Grand Admiral Thrawn is, he is a Chiss.
Which are blue-skinned humanoid aliens with red eyes.
Yeah. And he is so good at being awesome that he's the only non-human in, like, all of the officers of the Empire. And he's a Grand Admiral, so he's, like, as high as it goes.
Yeah, he's a genius. Also, notably, in the past, I mean, this is completely uncanon, but in the old Republic, the Chiss were the only race that the Sith Empire didn't enslave. They are the only ones they were allied with. Were Chiss. This is the thing. Chiss are badasses.
And they haven't been canon until now as well.
Yes, this is true.
But Admiral Thrawn, amazing. He studies like all the different races and knows their history and especially their art.
Culture, from art, that, yeah, history.
He takes that and applies it to what he thinks their tactics will be.
Yeah, so he knows how their brains work. He's basically being a mentalist.
Yeah.
And then applying it to military tactics. I don't know if you paused on that the scene where he says, and their art, and then it shows all the different art.
Yeah.
Because there's notably the Mandalorians in the top left corner, the Mandalorian symbol. And there's a picture of Ezra, so there's probably some human art there.
Yeah, the picture of Ezra is weird.
Yeah, I don't know what that picture is. But then there's some
it's
clearly...
Like the young...
Yeah, there's some clearly Twi'lek art that's all looks like stained glass or what's the thing?
Mosaic? Where you take
mosaic, yeah. That's like the word that starts with M, you put the little pieces together.
It's almost
like stained glass or
almost
mosaic.
For sure the Sabine and her family.
No, the
mosaic.
No, the mosaic is Twi'lek, for sure. You see the Mandalorian
Sabine,
stuff.
Sorry.
Hera.
I meant...
Hera.
Hera.
Hera. Yes, because you don't really see much of the Mandalorian stuff with the Mandalorian symbol up in the top. Yeah, it's definitely Twi'lek stuff. And then beside that, there's only one race left for that art. That native-looking inspired art.
Yeah, must be Sab.
Lasat. So, I mean, we get to see Lasat. I mean, realistically, the Lasat... Were they even a thing that existed before Rebels?
I don't think so.
Because, yeah, I know he's based on the early Wookiee stuff. The early designs.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's just new for Rebels.
So we're getting more and more stuff about that race. I get, you know, if you're paying attention. That race and culture. Also, actually, you see quite a few other of some Dark Trooper-looking things and some other designs that are from, well, from Ralph McQuarrie stuff.
Yeah.
Throughout the trailer. So it's a great trailer. Everybody should watch it. Probably more than once.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
And everybody's freaking out about that, obviously.
Because Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Alright, move on to leaving Star Wars for a time. So, there is, I don't want to say X-Men, I mean, there's an X-Men series in the works at Fox. Although it's not X-Men like the Charles Xavier team. I don't know if you remember, Andrew, they were talking about for a long time, they're talking about doing like a Hellfire Club sort of series. Do you know that? Did you hear about that?
No.
Well, they canned it. They've been talking about it and trying to get to it for like years, and they have officially, no, fuck Hellfire, it's done. Not doing it. But they still want to develop an X-Men, a Marvel property. So this series is, according to Variety, it is supposed to focus on a family, a husband and a wife, who go on the run when they discover their children are mutants. Basically. So, I mean, it is X-Men in the fact that they're mutants. And it's not X-Men in the fact that it's Xavier or his team. We have some interesting names as executive producers. Michael Nix, Brian Singer, Lauren Shuler Dunner, Jeff Loeb, Jim Choi, and Simon Kinberg. So Brian Singer, Jeff Loeb, and Simon Kinberg are names you should recognize.
Recognize Singer.
Yeah. Yes, and Jeff Loeb is a comics guy. There's a lot of comic and comic adaptations. And Simon Kinberg does a lot of different TV shows. So, I mean, that's good, I guess, that name. Those names being there maybe make, I mean, it might be a good show. Now, what I have heard is that they, I don't remember what the term is, but they have basically have agreed to make the pilot for sure. The pilot will be made, and that means it'll probably get aired. Because if you make something, you're going to fucking air it, usually. And that's it. They have no guarantee of an actual series, but the pilot will definitely be made. So it could turn into an ongoing mutant / X-Men TV show from Fox, or it could just be a pilot that they air as a one-off thing on a weekend or something. But still, it's, I don't know how I feel about it, because obviously I don't want Fox to keep having the rights. I want them to give the rights away.
Yeah.
But whatever. At the same time, I say that, but at the same time, I'm not sure I really want Marvel Studios to have all the rights, because then what the fuck do they care anymore?
Yeah.
They've got everything.
I just don't know what they'd do with it if they had it.
Yeah.
Probably have to keep it parallel for now or reboot the MCU.
I don't think they'd have to reboot, but yeah, no, it would. It would be weird. The mutant
would be hard, I think. Because there's just so many mutants.
Well, yeah, you would just start with like a core. The core people who matter. And maybe a couple other people because they're amusing.
Yeah, but if you bring in like the core, you got like the school.
Not necessarily. Or you can have the school exist, but no, don't give a shit about the students. They're extras who don't matter. It's totally doable.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, so that's a possibility that's going. Moving on to the last thing here, going from Marvel to DC, well, CW, really, they have revealed, I put the link to the tweet that they revealed the costume, and there's also another better picture where the guy's actually looking at the camera, but they have revealed the Kid Flash costume for the next season of The Flash, obviously, the Wally West costume when he was Kid Flash, and it looks great. It's basic. I mean, it's Kid Flash. I look at that picture and I go, yeah, that's clearly the Kid Flash costume. Except that, you know, this guy doesn't have red hair like Wally West does. Which is fine. Whatever. That doesn't matter. But it's a sweet looking costume. Did you look at that picture at all, Andrew? Well, do you know what Wally West's Kid Flash costume looks like?
No.
Really? You've never watched that cartoon?
No.
That everybody loves? There's two seasons on Netflix. Why can't I remember the goddamn name? It's all the sidekicks.
And Titans?
No. A newer one than that. It has Aqualad and Robin and Kid Flash and Miss Martian and Superboy. Ugh. Young Justice. It's Young Justice.
Oh.
People love that show for good reason. It's a fantastic show that has Kid Flash in it, in his yellow and red outfit. Anyway, this costume looks great. So, as per usual, quality stuff like coming from. Costume. Yeah. It's. I always found it an interesting thing of the yellow and red, because the yellow, because, you know, the Flash's costume is all red. And the yellow is like Zoom or Reverse Flash have often used yellow. So I always thought it was weird that the Kid Flash is yellow and red. But that's just me. I don't think it means anything.
Colors.
Just colors. Anyway, let's go back to Star Wars now as we go into video games.
Star Wars. Let's keep this going. Yeah. So, there was a little bit of stuff mentioned about Visceral's Star Wars game.
The as-yet-untitled Star Wars game.
Yeah. It's going to probably be like an action-y adventure game.
Well, yeah, or at least the person who was talking, she worked on Uncharted.
Yeah.
Or with Naughty Dog, so.
And on Uncharted, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going to be in that same vein. And they say it's an original Star Wars story, new characters, new locations, new tech, new creatures, you name it.
I mean, again, as I said before we started recording, I call bullshit at least on new tech, because there's no new tech in Star Wars. Shut up. Don't lie to me.
Well, not new, but unseen to us.
I disagree. I will be surprised if there's something that I have not heard about before.
And they said that the first thing that jumped out about all the Star Wars films is that they're all ensemble stories. And they're going to try and capture that. They want it to feel like you're playing a Star Wars film. And it's not just about the one guy going around against the world. It's a whole team, a whole group.
It's a team of guys a team of people going against the world.
Yeah. More importantly, probably the Empire.
Well, one could assume. Although, it would actually be really funny if you were, like, in the Imperial military.
Pretty cool.
Trying to kill the rebels.
Be okay with that.
Because that would be just a weird turnaround from what we usually see in all the video games and everything. And movies, obviously.
So, they don't say much, but You gotta wait until, like, 2017, see anything.
Yeah, she said they're probably gonna go dark for a while so that they can, you know, have a bunch of shit to say next year.
That they've been really forthcoming with anything yet. We've seen, like,
early design pictures.
Yeah, design pictures. We've seen some in-game renders and a guy walking out of a doorway.
Yeah. But still, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Speaking of Star Wars games,
there's Star Wars games.
Some new things coming to Battlefront.
Yeah. Like a new expansion for the Death Star, which is the first Death Star. So I guess Battle of Yavin. It's a multi-stage map. So there's a space battle, trench run, and some fights inside Death Star itself.
Fucking trench run. That was the worst of... was it in Rogue Squadron? No. There was an older Star Wars game that had you do the trench run, and it was the worst. The worst level. Super hard.
I don't remember.
There's also a couple of new single-player modes, or expanded single-player modes. Not a proper campaign yet, though. To just, you can do this as a, you know, without having a key for multiplayer. Which is fine.
And they announced the expansion to come after that, which is Rogue One expansion.
Gee, imagine that.
Crazy.
Who would have guessed?
Well, it looks exciting. And the skirmish thing is the what you're talking about with the single player, and it'll also bring co-op split screen.
Yeah. Yeah, they're expanding it to so you can do the ship things like it now as well instead of just the wave.
Yeah. But the co-op split screen's also console only.
Well, it just means local. I'm pretty sure that just means local.
Probably means console only.
I assumed it meant local. Because of how it's worded. It's worded weirdly when I read it. But who knows?
It's probably console.
That won't last long. If it is, that won't last long anyway.
Yeah, we're going to hack it up.
anyway, let's move on. Battles. Let's move on to more shooting, but less space. Yes, that's a fine segue.
Less Star Wars, less interested.
That's not true. It's Overwatch. You love Overwatch.
Yeah.
As we talked about last week, they were going to for sure talk about the new character at San Diego Comic-Con. Well, they announced what the character was, and it is a support sniper. And it is, she does use the weapon aim sight that we saw, but she does not use the name Sombra. It is Anna. Anna Amari, which is Faerie's mother. Yep. She's up on the PTR. That's a thing. Yep. Her weapon is interesting. As in it's
difficult.
Yeah. So you snipe your teammates to heal them over time, and you snipe your enemies to damage them over time.
It's so stressful, and I'm so bad at shooting.
She also has a grenade that will increase your allies' the heals received and make them immune to damage for like a couple seconds, and make your enemies immune to healing for a couple seconds.
Her E does that. Yeah. It's kind of like the blue zone.
Yeah. And then I like her sidearm. Her sidearm is great.
Shift.
Yeah, it's also her sidearm because it's a pistol. Yeah. And it shoots sleep darts.
Sleep darts.
So it knocks people out for a time or until they take damage. I don't know how long that time is if they don't take any damage.
A little extra CC.
But, yeah, and I do love how that's shown in the trailer.
Yeah.
Just, it's high noon. Snipe, asleep. Shh. Great. Love it. There's also a new motion comic out for Anna.
You didn't talk about her ultimate.
I did not. And her ultimate, which is Nano Boost? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
Makes people move and attack faster and do more damage. And maybe take, I don't know if take less damage. You do more damage and you certainly move faster. And I believe you attack faster.
Yeah, it's kind of like Medic's ult in Heroes of the Storm. If you know what that is.
Nope.
It's just like your super beefcake, more attack speed, more heal, just go.
Yeah, she basically turned everybody into a big beefcake for a time. For a nano boost. Her ultimate. Right, and there is a motion comic on the launcher. Or, well, you can get there from the launcher. About when she got wounded and basically was thought to be dead.
Yeah.
And so she didn't. So I was wrong, judging by this comic. She did not train Widowmaker.
Maybe she did.
But she knew her.
Yeah.
She was aware of who she was, and that caused her to hesitate to shoot her, and so she got shot in the face instead. Widowmaker shot her in the face. In the face!
Yep. Right through the scope.
Yeah, right through the scope. Into her cyber eye.
Wasn't it just a regular eye at that point?
No. No, she said she had her cyber eye, plus the scope. Did you read the motion comic?
No.
Well, in the motion comic, it is my cyber eye, you know, kind of, I can see anything up to like 6 times or something. With the scope, it's like 6,000, but I usually don't even need the scope. So she had a cyber eye.
Gotcha.
For sure. You should check out that motion comic. It's pretty cool.
I will. I mean, I got the highlights in the trailer, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. Both the trailer and the origin video are absolutely worth watching. Since there's two different videos, right? Yes. Isn't there?
No, I'm not sure. I don't remember if they're two different or one, but
I thought there was the hero, was the hero spotlight.
I've at least seen both of them if there are two.
Yeah, because there's the new hero revealed, and then there's the origin story.
I think those are two separate videos. She's like writing the letter to Farrah.
Yeah. And the hero spotlight's just a standard hero spotlight. I mean, you see it in Heroes of the Storm all the time.
Yeah.
The hero trailers.
Yeah.
So yes, there's two separate videos to watch, plus the motion comic. All worth seeing.
Andy says that she is Mom Snake.
Mom
Snake? She stands and holds her rifle and has all the nanotechnology and stuff.
Sure. I don't know what you mean.
I'm Snake.
Sure.
Like Metal Gear.
I know, but I still don't get it. But anyway, let's just move on. the mini NES.
Oh, yeah.
The mini NES. Yeah, this was announced. I don't even know where. I saw it. Somebody posted it on one of the Discords that I was in. So Nintendo is releasing a small version of the NES console. It looks like the original NES console. And it comes programmed with 30 games that you can then play. And I did not see the price point.
It's like $80 American.
That's pretty cheap then. I mean, that'd be 100 probably, because things get marked up like shit, 150 here.
Yeah, probably, unfortunately.
On top of dollar difference plus markup, that's probably about 150.
It's got two ports for controllers. It comes with one classic controller, and they're the Wiimote plugs, so you can use them on your Wii as well.
Which, why? Why would you even want to do that?
Well, if you've got a virtual console.
Yeah, but why would you want to use those shitty controllers?
If you got a virtual console.
Those square pieces of shit are terrible.
And it doesn't say if they're going to be connectable to the internet or if you can get more games than 30, but they'll all be fancy and upscaled and running through HDMI.
I mean, as much as you can, probably.
As much as you can upscale, what, how many bits was that?
8-bit?
8 bits.
I think that was still 8. I think SNES was 16.
SNES was 16, yeah. And then the 64 was, guess how many?
125.
Yes. I'll just say it.
Weirdly enough. Yeah. So that'd be cool. You know, if you want to play classic NES games. If you've got the three Super Marios and both the crappy, terrible Legend of Zelda games that nobody should ever want to go back and play.
I've never played
Legend
them.
Legend of Zelda and Legend of Zelda 2 are terrible. Don't. They're terrible. I hate them.
Yeah, there's lots of games. If you want it, go look at it.
Now, for one thing that is not video game related. Steve Jackson Games, you know, the guys who do Munchkin and a bunch of other quick little games like that. Wow, Munchkin's not actually that quick, but, well. Anyway, they have announced that they are going to do a Batman the Animated Series dice game.
Yay.
So basically, I mean, this is a quick, you know, 10-20 minute game for up to 2 to 4 people. So you have a little token that is an iconic, one of the more iconic villains. So you got a Joker, you got a Poison Ivy, you got a Catwoman, and you got a Riddler. All with the pictures from what they look like in the animated series.
Classic.
And each different villain has a different power. So it does actually change. You know, it does matter which character you are, I guess, is what I'm saying. Well, not just there for, you know, looks. Just to say, hey, I'm the Joker. Because I'm the Joker. This game's going to be similar to, like, Zombie Dice, that kind of idea. Where is this? It'll be out in November? For probably around $15. That's probably American, so it'll probably be 20, 25 here. Because, you know, that's what happens. But, you know, if you're looking for a quick game that's super luck-based and also involves Batman.
I'm interested.
Of course you're interested. It's Batman.
Which dice, though?
What?
Which dice?
Yeah, there's 10. There's 10 D6. That's 4 more than the only other dice game I've ever seen you play. So Andrew, what Pokemon Go news has there been in the last week?
Oh my god, all of it. We can't talk about all of it. But they've found that I don't even know what they found it, but a hacking group has admitted to attacking their servers.
Yeah, DDoSing.
Has been bringing down a lot of the servers recently. And they also said that it's just kind of been a bit of fun, and they're planning on a bigger attack.
Yeah, because it's I have no computer skills hacking. That's what DDoSing is.
Yeah, It's just,
I've got a large group of people and I can't do anything.
Stupid. And they're assholes. There's not much you can do about it until after it happens in general. It's just nonsense.
It's dumb.
And also, there has been people, like, robbed playing this game. People have walked into traffic and been hit by cars and blamed the game, which is just the worst.
Well, I mean, not all of these stories are true, but some of them are. There's a lot more stories out there than are true.
Mostly quoting ones that have been, like, on news sites.
But yes, people are stupid. Imagine that.
Yeah, crazy. And they blame the game, because it's always the game's fault.
Because they're stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My kids, they shouldn't have been playing these super violent, mature-rated games. It's the game's fault.
Yeah.
The people let them play it. And yesterday, there were some kids who were driving around getting the Pokestops and the Pokemons, and they were parked outside some guy's house, and he came out with a gun and started firing at them as they sped away because he had a gun.
Jesus. And that guy's a little crazy.
Yeah. So they didn't know because it was a couple of teenagers, and the next day, the parents were like, why are there gun holes in the car and a flat tire? And then they're like, well, we were doing Pokemon.
It's one thing to have a gun in your house for security. It's one thing to take it outside as a get the fuck out off away from my property. But to open fire without even talking to these people? Come on. That guy's crazy.
Yeah. And, oh man, there's just so much crazy over this. But there's a lot of cool stuff, too. And it's still not released in Canada.
Officially, no.
Officially.
But there that doesn't stop there from being a ton of tryhards.
There are so many people playing this game. I saw this lady downtown the other day. She was walking her kid and had a Charizard hat. And I would say walking her kid because he was on a leash. And she had her phone out and you could see her swiping up. She was standing there and I'm like, oh, that's got to be Pokemon Go.
Yeah, there was, like I said before we started recording, there must have been 6, 7 to 10 fucking kids. I mean, teenagers probably. Down by the library, because there's like 4 Pokestops right there that you can get to with barely moving. Yep. Yesterday. And those kids, I'm just going to wait for it to load, but I'm pretty... Oh, it's not going to load. Because I looked at who placed the lure in the lure is how you pronounce that word. Because, you know, those Pokestops all had lures on them so that the kids didn't have to move to catch Pokemon. Well, placed by one person. I recognized the name because I read it 3 times. And then there's a gym right there, the Java Garden, Andrew, which is not the Java Garden anymore, but according to Ingress, the Ingress data point, it's still the Java Garden. That's a gym. And it has now been taken over. It has 8 Pokemon in it. 8.
Jeez. 8.
That's how high they ramped that prestige.
And it's Valor, and like
the highest one is 1500 and something.
It's Valor, right?
No, it's Blue, actually. It's Mystic. I was amazed. I'm pretty sure it's Mystic and not the Tryhards.
I don't believe that. Because
up to this point, I had called Team Valor the Tryhard type. Because the type seemed... Oh, turn your volume off. Jesus.
Didn't know it was on. My apologies.
It won't load for me.
Valor is for sure the tryhards.
That's what I see with the highest numbers mostly. Yeah. Until right now, I mean, with that them taking over the Java Garden with 8 goddamn things in that gym.
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Still haven't put a Pokemon on a gym.
I have a couple of times. There's a gym. There's a park by my house that it trades teams every couple of days. We have it, then Valor has it, then Mystic has it, then we have it. So, you know.
There's a Valor. There's one gym near me, and it gets traded back and forth between Valor and Instinct. But, like, every now and again, Mystic will come by and take it out, and then put, like, two Pokemon on it that are, like, under 100 CP. And I don't know what they're doing. Well,
I don't remember which gym it was. One of the gyms around me that Valor had, they had a 35 Pikachu. But they also had three other Pokemon that were like 600 and 600 plus. And I was like, I see what this guy was doing. Because if you're in a group of two or three people, absolutely, throw in like your lowest CP Pokemon. Then fucking train the shit out of that goddamn gym.
Yeah.
Increase the prestige and then put higher Pokemon on top of that stupid little one. That's how you're supposed, well, it's not how you're supposed to do it, but it's how people are gaming the system to do it.
There's a big mob of neighborhood kids, and the thought occurs to me that I'm never going to progress in this neighborhood because there's this mob of kids that are on summer vacation that just roam around the neighborhood.
They don't have to work, they can spend all day just walking around catching Pokemon.
Yeah, they're running, and, like literally running from spot to spot catching Pokemon. Or they're on their scooters.
And I have to go out of my way to go to PokeSpots so I don't keep, because I keep running out of fucking Pokeballs.
Yeah.
All the time. Also, the Google Full Access thing was a thing that happened and then got fixed in the week that between our last episode and now.
Right.
It got fixed within like a day. They're like, oh, that's a problem. We should probably not have this accessing Google Full Access. Okay, update, it's fixed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a thing.
My Pokemon Go has permission to make phone calls.
Well, so did some of your other apps. It's a weird thing on either your phone or Android, I don't know which.
It's an Android thing. But Pokemon Go is one of the few apps I've seen that asked for permission to make phone calls. And I said,
there was another.
Yes, because I want to see what another happened. One.
There was another one that you did too before Pokemon Go that you were like, I don't know, but I guess I'll give it access.
I think it was War Room.
I don't know what that is, so maybe.
It's a list building app for a War Machine. Just
anyway.
No reason for it to have.
Yeah, no, there's no reason for any app to have it because that doesn't make sense. Anyway, let's move on to our last thing in game news because we've been talking about Pokemon Go for too long again. We got some news from Telltale, mostly about Batman, the distribution of Batman. So, Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and Telltale have, you know, come together for a distribution agreement of the Batman Telltale series. Obviously, I mean, who else is going to distribute the Batman game but Warner Brothers Entertainment, right? Considering they are the name that is with Batman, previously been with Batman games.
Yes.
As a publisher. So, it will be able to, digital and also in stores starting in, North America, I believe, September 13th. In stores, it'll be a special season pass disc. So it'll include all the episodes, but like, it'll have the first episode if you buy it on September 13th, and then you will download, or it'll get updated with the subsequent four episodes. So I don't know why you'd buy the disc, really, just, unless it's cheaper or something, which is probably not, just buy them online, because that's how this stuff works. Right? And September 16th for retailers across Europe, I assume digitally it comes out everywhere at September 13th. And then blah blah blah, we're talking up Telltale and Warner Brothers and blah blah blah. Also, some of the names I did not realize because I didn't really look at this rather. I recognize about half the names of the actors in it, the voice actors. So we got Troy Baker as Bruce Wayne, slash Batman. Okay. That one, Uncharted, we already talked about it. What the fuck's that guy's name? He was Drake. Wasn't he Drake? I'm pretty sure he was Drake. as well as I think he was also the main character in Bioshock Infinite and a bunch of other shit. Okay. Travis Willingham as Harvey Dent. He also does a ton of... What?
Can we trust him?
Probably not. Travis Willingham also does a bunch of video game and anime voice acting. All sorts of things. Erin Yvette as Vicky Vale. I have not heard of her. And N. Reitel, I think, as Alfred. Haven't heard of him. Murphy Geyer as Lieutenant Gordon. So I guess if he's Lieutenant, this must be early. I didn't actually look anything up about this game. Because I don't play Telltale games. Lieutenant Gordon. So how early is this in Batman's career? Well, pretty early, I guess, because the next voice actor is Richard McGonagall as Carmine Falcone. Falcone's pretty early in Batman.
I haven't seen any information on the details of the game, just that it was a thing that was happening.
Well, judging by Bruce Wayne, Harvey Dent, not Two-Face, and Lieutenant Gordon and Carmine Falcone... Seems pretty early in the Batman timeline. And also, Andrew, lastly in this casting list that I have in front of me, Laura Bailey as Selina Kyle.
Laura Bailey.
Which is a really creepy thing to do for those of you who have not listened to All Work No Play, name drop. It is a podcast done by voice actors, so every time they mention her name, they have a little sound drop. It sounds like that.
Complete with harps.
But Andrew saying it, like that, if you don't know that reference. Sounds kind of creepy. And then additional cast and characters will be revealed as the season progresses. So other people. And then also season 3 of The Walking Dead. Well, is supposed to premiere later this fall. So in the fall. So it'll be about the tale of a mysterious newcomer, Javier. While also continuing the story of Clementine.
Walking Dead Telltale is better than the show.
I don't know. I haven't played it or watched it. Or watched the spinoff show.
I haven't watched the spinoff show.
I pretty much don't have it. I own the Game of Thrones Telltale game. I still haven't loaded it up.
I like that one too.
I pretty much have no interest in these games. It's not my style of thing.
I like them.
All right, let's move into comics and books.
Perks, Armageddon.
We're going to start with Star Wars again because
oh my god. Okay.
You know, Andrew, we should... Well, no, then we wouldn't have been able to go from movies to TV and keep it Star Wars.
Yeah.
I was going to say we should have started movies with Star Wars, then we start every single area of our podcast with Star Wars. No, we started with Power Rangers movies.
Yeah, we started with Power Rangers. But we blew through it so we can get to Star Wars.
That's fair. Yeah, so, Star Wars book.
Oh my god. So, new Star Wars book is just called Thrawn. And it's by Timothy Zahn.
Zahn. Who was the person who wrote the Heir to the Empire trilogy, which were the books that Thrawn was from. And that people love.
Yeah.
So,
mostly good books.
Presumably it'll continue to be good and popular, considering he's writing it again.
I'm hoping for some changes to the writing compared to how it was back then. Because The Heir to the Empire was some of the earlier Expanded Universe books, and they weren't great. They were good in that I liked the characters in it, and the way that the characters interacted with each other was good. But, like, it could have expanded on how Thrawn is a genius. A lot of the time, it was just saying Thrawn's a genius. He figured this out because he did.
Because he did. Because his skin is blue.
Or... detail, I guess, but apparently the first draft is done. it's all just being edited and stuff.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to come out this year, isn't it?
No, 2017, April.
Oh, 2017. For some reason, I thought it was like this fall, winter. I didn't really read, though. I just saw it somewhere.
Well, I read it. I am stoked.
Exactly why I didn't, because I knew you would.
So pumped.
I was like, Andrew will know. Just like 2 weeks ago with whatever game it was, and I was like, I don't care. Andrew, you cover this.
Also, I think last week, what's it called, came out? The other Star Wars book, Aftermath, Life Debt. And those Aftermath books are not good. they're not very coherent. They're not super interesting with what they're doing. Characters are good, but mostly it just is more canon. It just feels like this is a way to deliver canon to people who are interested.
Well, that happens sometimes. I mean, who's the author? Or are they a mix of authors?
It's one author. I don't remember who it is, though.
It happens sometimes. You know, some authors aren't as good. I mean, even in the WoW stuff, there are just, like, some of the authors, I'm like, you're really not great. But then there's other stuff that's really, really good.
Yeah. Lost Stars is still the best of the new canon, in my opinion.
Sure. I haven't read any of them. I might eventually. Maybe. Who knows? Speaking of things that I haven't read, but probably should. So, Dynamite Entertainment has announced that they're going to adapt the original Ian Fleming James Bond novels into comics. Or at least, I mean, they have announced that they plan on doing all of them, but they're starting with Casino Royale. Casino Royale is happening for sure.
That is the first one, right?
Yes, I believe that is the first book. Although, again, I haven't read them, so I'm not sure. I have seen most of the movies. Somewhere buried in my room, I have that Amazon thing. I got it off Amazon. It's probably not Amazon exclusive, but I got the thing that had collected all of the movies up to, like, Spectre, because it came out. I got it before Spectre came out, but it included Skyfall.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I got it for, it was on super sale, so I was like, yeah. And then I watched, and I had to go house sit somewhere for like a week, so guess what I did while sitting on the couch playing video games watching fucking James Bond for like a week.
Sounds good. Week.
So there's a really long quote from the writer, Van Jensen, who I have no idea who Van Jensen is. Never heard of him. But apparently he's a comic writer. And Matt Southworth will be the artist. Don't know who that guy is either. Basically, Van Jensen is like, this quote tells me he's super excited and he likes James Bond and he keeps saying it's James damned Bond. So he's very excited and he wants to try and be sort of true to the books in his adaptation.
Sweet.
And so James Bond Casino Royale arrives in December. So I'll probably pick that up as long as I, you know, remember. Which I may or may not remember. Who knows? December is a long way from now. Or maybe I'll ask for it for my birthday or Christmas.
Let other people remember.
Yeah, exactly. Let other people remember. I gotta tell you also, I have what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things on this book list. There was 2 or 3 things I cut off this list. I don't know why, but there are so many things that were announced in this week before Comic-Con.
I don't have Star Wars.
Which I'm actually thinking is probably so, like, we're going to announce that we do this, and then we're going to talk about it more at Comic-Con, is probably what I'm thinking their plan is. So this is just amusing to me. That's why I had to put it in the notes. If you want your kids to be a superhero, which, I mean, if you do, you might want to realize what happens to most superhero parents. But there is a book coming out. I don't know when it's coming out. Why do you not have this? Anyway, it's called My First Book of Supervillains. And you learn the difference between right and wrong. So it's like, it's a children's book. The book is designed to teach kids the difference between right and wrong. Basically. And I'm sure because it's a kid's book, it'll be black and white. This is bad and this is good. But it just really amuses me because it's DC is putting a kid's book called My First Book of Supervillains.
That's great.
I mean, how hilarious is that? It might actually already be out, judging by this article, because it says it has a $9.99 price tag. So it has a $10 price tag. And most importantly, it is filled with the art of Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, who is fantastic. He does a lot of like 80s, it was like 80s DC art. It's great. Here, let me, here, Andrew, how do I post in this thing here? That's not what I wanted to do. I posted that as plain text. I wanted to post that as a link.
Where have you posted?
In the recording thing. You know, there's the chat thing that we never use. Because we just talk about our plans out loud while recording. I'll probably throw this in the show notes too. Just, it has a bunch of pictures of his art.
That looks classic.
Which is honestly classic, but not so classic that it's the terrible art from way back when.
Yeah.
It's the awesome classic.
It's like HD classic.
So I'm going to throw this link in the show notes here. And see how much it totally, yeah. There. It's great. Everybody should check out that art because that guy, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, he's great. And his name is too long. So, continuing on to the next thing, coming from a publishing company that I've never even heard of, Automatic Publishing. Never heard of them. But they... there's a preview out there for Spectrum Number 1. Now, I didn't know about this, but Spectrum Number 0 was a free comic on Free Comic Book Day, and I didn't go anywhere for Free Comic Book Day because I'm lame, and I was probably asleep for most of it.
True.
But Spectrum Number 1 comes from the creative team of Alan Tudyk, PJ Harsma, and Sarah Stone. Yes, Alan Tudyk. It is... The Spectrum is the show within a show of Con Man. So Spectrum is the TV show that Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion's characters from Con Man were on. So this comic is the show.
Got that downstairs. You want to look at it?
What, Spectrum?
Yeah, from Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, Spectrum Zero. So yeah, Spectrum Zero is like the prologue stuff and sets up like the story. I didn't realize what their character names in the show were. They're kind of terrible. So Hotshot Pilot, Cash Wayne, yep, is Tudyk's character. Cash Wayne. Which amuses to me that it's that close to Wash. Holds the line long enough for Captain Raker, which sounds a lot like Riker, which is Finland's character. I just wanted to point out their show names are funny. Yes, exactly. They're making those good references. I don't know when this is out. I looked it up, didn't I? Whoops. I actually don't know when this is out because actually I don't think I could find when it releases. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't have a date for it. But, you know, if you keep your eye out on Spectrum, because I'm sure it'll be great. And now for what might be my favorite news story. Kurt Russell is teaming up with Kurt Russell in a Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York crossover comic.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. So Jack Burton and Snake Plissken going to be teaming up in comic form.
I love this world sometimes.
So it'll be a six-issue limited, a miniseries. And apparently the first time two John Carpenter creations have been in a crossover.
Huh. Weird.
Which I didn't know. The first issue is coming in October, and it has two different covers. And they, you put them up side by side, and they make a larger sort of meta image that looks awesome.
Sweet.
But yeah, so October for this one, and that's basically it. What more do you need to know than Big Trouble Little China, Escape from New York crossover, really?
It can only be great.
Exactly. It can only be great. And last on the docket, I mean, Andrew, I assume you must be at least half excited just looking at what the name is.
Yeah.
That first name.
What is it?
Tartakovsky's Cage. So Genndy Tartakovsky, the, you know, guy behind Samurai Jack and Symbiotic Man, Powerpuff Girls,
and
is going
and Hotel Transylvania.
Hotel Transylvania. He's going to do a Luke Cage miniseries for Marvel. Oh. This is like 70s bell bottoms, tiara, open shirt Luke Cage. So he. He says that growing up with the Power Man and Iron Fist comics in the 70s and 80s, he has a very strong fondness for that version of Power Man. So his vision is very rooted in that time. And it was more about making something entertaining with a character that I really liked, so I think it can appeal to young and old readers. And honestly, just looking at this art is amazing. It's 70s Luke Cage, but Genndy Tartakovsky gift-fied.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
So that is a 4-issue miniseries. Number one will release also in October. So yeah, there's not anything not to like here either. I mean, it's Luke Cage and Genndy Tartakovsky.
Yeah. Those and are both. Just get all of Tartakovsky's stuff.
Yeah, Tartakovsky is
amazing. I can't say his name.
Tartakovsky?
Yeah.
I actually have more trouble with Genndy because I want to throw an R in there. I want to say Gendry.
I'll add another E. Yeah.
Genndy Tartakovsky.
Oh man, that cover is amazing.
I know, right?
Oh my god.
A long echo in a distant land. All the amazing things were made by Genndy Tartakovsky.
He's the best.
Yeah. So that's all we got this week. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Dud75, D-U-D-7-5.
I'm at D-U-P-3.
And you can follow the show at Gweekly News, G-W-E-E-K-L-Y-N-E-W-S. And GweeklyNews.com is our website, where you can find the show notes with the links to the awesome Jose Luis Garcia Lopez pictures and the Star Wars Rebels Season 3 trailer. Wow. It's too long. These things are too long. I can't speak them all. And just, you know, read the show notes if you want to. And you can comment on the pages and subscribe via RSS on the website. If you want to contact us slightly more directly than commenting on the page, you can email us at feedback@gweeklynews.com. You know, tell us how right we got something, how wrong we are about something. Who knows? Whatever you want to say. How much you love Genndy Tartakovsky? Yeah. Because if you don't, you're wrong. Yeah. But that is not... I say just about everything is open to interpretation. Like, if you don't like it, you like it. It's fine, it's your opinion, but you cannot not like Genndy Tartakovsky. You're wrong.
And with Star Wars.
In that case. Eh, no, there's people there who don't, they don't have to like Star Wars.
Yeah, but they're wrong.
I understand that. There's a lot of bullshit in Star Wars. I find it to be entertaining bullshit. There's a lot of stupid bullshit in Star
Wars. There's so many flavors of it. There's got to be at least one flavor of Star Wars that I like.
Yeah, but stealing a really bad comparison from Scott Johnson. If you had a cake, it's a great, gorgeous chocolate cake, but it's got a little bit of cat poop in it. You gonna eat that cake?
When did the cat poop in it?
I don't know. The idea is sometimes having some shit in it ruins the whole, even if the most of it is really good.
Yeah,
that's
but
all. It's a really, like I said,
if there's cat
really
poop
bad comparison.
Cake being baked.
No, I'm pretty sure it got baked in the cake. Like they made the batter for the cake, this gorgeous chocolate cake, and they dropped some cat poop in it, and then they baked it.
Yeah, probably not.
You're not supposed to think about it this hard. It's just a really bad thing.
But I also like cake, especially chocolate.
Are you actually considering eating a chocolate cake that was baked with cat poop in it?
Well, no, none of it was baked with it. I don't think that'd be good.
But you're saying if it was already baked and a cat came up and popped a squat on it, it'd be okay as long as you didn't take the part.
You could eat around that.
Okay, wow. Sure. So you can email us and talk about chocolate cake with cat poop if you want.
How right am I?
Or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/weeklynews. And we're also on iTunes. We would love a rating and review if you have the time, please. Well, that's it. And I'm still recovering from the cat poop conversation. So thank you for listening. And we will see you, or you'll hear us next week.